Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to talk about a subject that I call, What Stirs Up Strife? What stirs up strife? If you are striving with someone, there's a root cause for the strife. Now you can usually point to some of the contributing elements of the strife, but it's hard to get down to the root cause. And the reason is generally that two people who are at odds with each other are so busy fighting about what he said or she said or what he did or she did that they can't see past the last rock that was thrown. I mean, you know, they talk about an escalating rock fight. You throw one, throw back, one more comes, one goes back, bigger rock goes, another rock comes, faster rock comes, another one comes, and the next thing you know, you're worried about the last rock and can't even remember what the fight was about. So today what we're going to do is we're going to consider what stirs up strife. You know, and if you'll be honest with yourself, you can get down to the root of this problem. And frankly, it's not going to be solved till you get down to the root of it. Now, these are the root causes of strife from the Bible. Number one, pride. Pride. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25 says, He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Well, there you go. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says it this way, Only by pride cometh contention. Well, there you see in both verses, pride is at the root of the contention. Pride is at the root of the strife. So, no matter what another person says, if you are proud, eventually there's going to be strife. In other words, the person may say something that could be taken two ways. You're going to take it the wrong way. You're going to get upset. You're going to lash back. And what the problem is, you're proud. I mean, the strife is not really about their quote-unquote stupid comment or thought or idea or plan or whatever. The strife is the result of your pride. Now, here's the problem. Can you be honest enough with yourself to admit that you are proud? And not only that, but that your pride is at the root of your strife with this person. You see, that's the problem. When people are proud, all they can do is see how bad, how selfish, how stupid, how whatever the case may be, the other person is. But listen, get the other person out of your mind for a moment and go look in the mirror and look at yourself and analyze yourself through the scripture. And ask God, ask yourself, am I proud? Now, listen, if you can admit that you are proud, that your pride is the root of this problem you're having, you know what? You're more man. I say that in quotes because you're liable to be a woman. You're more man than most. I mean, because most men and women cannot admit that they are the root of the problem because they are proud. Now, could you do that? It's hard. It's hard. But if you are proud, then you're contentious. If you are proud, you're going to stir up strife. And until you deal with your pride, there's going to continue to be strife. And if you're sick of strife, then go to work on yourself and humble yourself and esteem other better than yourself. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find you're getting along better and you're not having nearly as much strife as you used to. Here's another root cause of strife. This one's very obvious. It's hatred. Hatred. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes. Hatred stirreth up strifes. Do you see the direct connection there? Now, the fact that hatred is at the root of strife is really obvious. The hard part is to get along with somebody you hate. I mean, you can understand that. However, admitting that you hate a person is awfully hard to do. But the truth is that until you admit your hatred and turn from it, you cannot cease from your strife. And you have to realize something. The problem is not theirs. It's yours. If you're the one who hates the other person. Now, if they hate you, the problem is theirs. Let me tell you, years ago I counseled a couple. And they were striving with each other. I mean, it was bad. And they needed a lot of help. They weren't in our church. They were friends or relations or something of people that were in our church. And they convinced to get together. And we talked privately with a man, talked privately with his wife. And in the course of our conversation, it was determined that the wife hated her husband. She admitted that to me. She said, "I hate him." And I'm going to tell you something. They never did get along. You can't get along with somebody you hate. Well, you say, well, how can I change that? You have to deal with your heart. You have to deal with your hatred and get over that hatred so that then, you can stop the strife. It's not about, again, what they said or what they're doing. You don't like them, and that's the root cause of your strife. Here's another root cause of your strife. Envy. Envy. Now, I'm going to take you over to Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, we're just going to look at one verse of Scripture. There are several verses of Scripture, Romans chapter 13, verse 13, several verses of Scripture that link envy and strife. The Bible says in Romans 13, 13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Envy appears with strife several times in the Bible. So if the person with whom you're having strife envies you for whatever reason, I mean, they may envy your looks, they may envy your popularity, they may envy the fact that the preacher seems to like you better than he likes them, they may envy your wealth, they may envy your possessions, they may envy your house or your car. Whatever the case is, if the person with whom you are having strife envies you, then no matter what you do, you're going to have strife. Because the Bible says, who is able to stand before envy? Well, Joseph wasn't able to stand before envy. Moses wasn't able to stand before envy. Jesus Christ was not able to stand before envy. Stephen was not able to stand before envy. If they couldn't, you're not either. And I'm going to tell you something. The strife with somebody that envies you can go on for years and years and years and years. And by the same token, if you have envy toward the other person, then the only way you are ever going to solve the discord between you is to cease from your envy. Now, just like pride and just like hatred, searching your heart and admitting that you are envious is a very hard thing to do. But I'll tell you this, it will solve the problem. Any of these things, pride, hatred, envy, you have to get along with yourself. You just walk around your house. You pray. You read the Scripture. You beg God. You search your heart. Get down through all that, chaos and all that distraction and get down to the very root down deep in your heart, I'll tell you what, if you envy the person you're striving with, you have now found the root of your problem. And until you deal with that envy, you are never going to stop the strife. Every little thing is going to turn into an argument. It just is. It's just going to be friction the whole time. And you say, well, you know, they don't know how to drive. The person, they don't know how, I do the yard one way. They do it the other way. I don't like the clothes they wear. You know, they don't know how to make the bed. I mean, you just pick fault with everything when you envy somebody. And so you got to get over that. To do it, you have to admit that you are envious. All right, here's another root cause of strife. Anger, and just like these others, it's obvious when you and I talk about it. When I mention it to you, you go, well, of course, if you're angry with somebody, you're going to strive with them. However, you're having strife in your life, and you haven't been able to figure out the root cause because it just keeps going on. So it is easy to understand it when you hear it spoken by a third party in a study. The hard part is to admit that you have the problem yourself, or that the person that you're dealing with has the problem and they've got to deal with it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. An angry man stirreth up strife. So, here we go. Angry men stir up strife. Well, then the way to end the strife is for you, or the angry man, if it's not you, to learn to rule his spirit and control his anger. Now, I know about this. You know, I had to deal with these things in my own life. And you sometimes, you know what happens to angry people is you want to blame the other person. You want to blame the circumstances. You want to, I don't feel good. My health is not good. You're not good. The house is not good. The money's not good. The job's not good. The boss is not good. I'm angry, you know. So it's all them, you know, it's all them. Come home and kick the dog. He didn't do anything to you. You know what the problem is? You're angry. They didn't make you angry. You wouldn't have reacted the way you did in every one of the circumstances I just described if you hadn't already been angry. It's you're a cauldron. It's down inside of you, or down inside of that person that you're thinking about when we're talking about this strife. And the only way to deal with the strife is the angry man has to learn to rule his spirit and control his anger. Now, you know the problem, and I'll tell you with his anger. Let's say there's strife, and you're not the angry person. Let's say it's your spouse. Let's say it's your boss. Let's say it's the other person. They're angry. You know what you're doing? You're dancing around all the time on thin ice, trying to keep from making them mad, and you're dancing around on thin ice, trying to be overly nice to them so that you can help them manage their anger. And I'm telling you what, you can't do either one. You're just going to be jacked up dancing around on your ice all the time trying to help them manage their anger. It's not your duty to control their anger. It's their duty. Or if you're the angry person, it's your duty. It's not them. Well, those kids need to shut up. It's you. I mean, listen, a man can usually talk through a problem with another person. That's common. You sit down, you confront each other, you figure out where the problem went wrong, you look at it, say, oh, yeah, that's where it went wrong, and you work through it and don't let it happen again. You know, men can usually do that. However, if a man is an angry man, he's not going to get through the discussion without strife. And not because the other person is wrong, but because he's angry. Listen, if anger is at the root of your strife, you probably won't admit it. You'll probably justify your anger, which most people who are angry do. But I'm going to tell you something. Until you get a control of your anger and deal with it, you're going to have strife. And if you like strife, then go on being angry, because that's what you're going to have. And it doesn't make any difference. It'll be your spouse. It'll be the kids. It'll be your boss. It'll be, you know, a friend. It'll be the clerk. It'll be the cashier. It'll be the store. It'll be the customer service representative. It's always somebody else, isn't it? And it's always strife, isn't it? Well, the root cause is anger. Okay? So these are really difficult ones. The root cause of strife, pride, hatred, envy, anger. Here's another one. Scornfulness. Scornfulness. Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verse 10. You say, preacher, I'm not having fun with this message at all. Listen, if it's your intention to get strife out of your life, this may not be fun, may not be any more fun than going to have your annual physical, some of the things that have to be done there. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're trying to find the root cause of the problem and get rid of it, you have to go through this exercise. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. So strife, contention, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Notice, a scorner is contentious. He's the cause of strife. He's the cause of reproach. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, scorn, what is scorn? Scorn is extreme, often indignant contempt for someone or for something. And if you're dealing with a scorner, there's only one way, according to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10, there's only one way to end the strife. You know what you got to do? You got to cast out the scorner. I mean, really and truly, I know that sounds harsh. I was talking to a family, and they had a son, and the son, they finally learned by the time he was in his 20s, was a scorner. And they tried loving him, they tried disciplining him, they tried everything they possibly could to deal with this kid, and there was always strife. And finally, they just kicked him out of the house. And indeed, at that age, he needed to be kicked out of the house. And you know what? Strife was over. Why? Scorner's gone. You know, in churches, when a scorner finally leaves, you know what churches call that? A backdoor revival. Truly, the spirit of the church is refreshed almost immediately after he or she leaves. Now, I'm going to say something to you. If you're the scorner, then you're going to have to leave for the strife to go away. But you got to be reminded, you can't run from yourself. You're going to have strife everywhere you go. But at least, thank God, the people with whom you strive will have peace once you're out of the picture. I'd say to you, if you're a scorner, you need to learn how not to be a scorner anymore, okay? And then you can start living without strife. And if you're dealing with a scorner, listen, you're not going to love him into change or love her into change. You're not going to discipline them into change. The only thing you have to do is you're going to finally have to just say, listen, I'm cutting you off. We can't do it this way anymore. You are a scorner. Get out of our lives. We're tired of this. You say, well, that's hard to do with a child. Yes, it is hard to do with a child. But that's the only way you're going to deal with it. If that person goes and learns not to be a scorner anymore, you can get along well for the rest of your lives, but there's nothing you can do with them when they're scornful. Here's another one. You want to know what stirs up strife? Sensual wisdom. Sensual wisdom. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. This little thing that we're going to look at right here is a good cause for trouble in churches too. James chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 14, for the context, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, sensual wisdom. For where envying and strife is, there they are together again. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. Sensual wisdom is wisdom that feels right. It's not right, but it feels right. It's earthly, and it's devilish. Now, the end result of following this kind of wisdom is envy, strife, confusion, and every evil work. I've had personal experience with it. I'm going to tell you, it's very deceiving, and it's a very bad thing. Many Christians are pushed, that's the word I use to describe this, are pushed into this wisdom by a spirit imitating the Holy Spirit. In other words, there's pressure. There's pressure to do this kind of wisdom. And you can tell when the wisdom is sensual because it will not match the characteristics of divine wisdom that you find later in the chapter. James chapter 3, verse 17 says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. You get in churches where they have the charismatic healing and tongues going on. Some people have it, some don't. Pushy, pushy. You start seeing a pushy spirit. The wisdom that's from above is without partiality, without hypocrisy, gentle, easy to be entreated. So this sensual wisdom starts building up in there, and there's that push, there's that intimidation, there's that involvement of men, this purpose-driven movement thing going on, this prayer of Jabez thing going on, all those kind of things, that's all kind of pushed and imposed on people. I'll tell you what, there's strife associated with that stuff. There's confusion associated with that stuff. And when you start seeing that happen, you have to identify the sensual wisdom in order to get rid of the strife. In order to end the strife, you must quit listening to this spirit. You must quit following these feelings. You must quit following the men or the women who espouse this sensual wisdom. And when you do, the strife is going to cease. Sensual wisdom. I could preach a whole sermon on this. I'm going to move on to the other points. If you've had experience with it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If not, spend some time in James chapter 3 from about verse 13 down to verse 18 and prayerfully consider the wisdom you're following. You may find that the strife is associated with that and really with nothing else. All right, here's the next one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. What is another cause of strife? Carnality. Carnality. 1 Corinthians 3:3. Ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, there they are together again, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now the Christian life is spiritual life. It involves a spiritual book, the Bible, and spiritual offices, pastors and teachers, evangelists, spiritual life, the Holy Spirit, all that stuff. But you know what? The more carnal that the Christian life becomes, the more strife arises. Why? Because men don't often agree on religion and politics. And so it may be that the strife you are having or the reason that you're at odds with someone is because as men, you can't agree. I mean, here's Paul and here's Apollos and there's Cephas and there's God. You know, well, I follow him, I follow Paul, whatever. You see, men often don't agree when it comes down to discussions about things in the Bible. They can't agree on doctrine and interpretation of verses and a lot of things. All right, well, here. If you will humble yourself to God and do what He wants rather than what you want, surely you can agree with Him. And if you agree with God, you'll end the strife. And if not, you're carnal, and the strife will continue. What's at the root of strife? Carnality. I want my way. You've seen that with children. Well, grown-ups are pretty good at it, too. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. What is another cause, a root cause of strife? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife. There they are together again. Railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23, we find this. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. So what is a root cause of strife? Foolishness. Foolishness. Foolish words and foolish questions. Now, if you want to see an excellent example of this root cause of strife, just read the comments following any news items posted on the internet. That's right. Just go over there on the internet, find some news item, scroll down to the end of it, go to the comments section, and by the time you've read about three or four comments, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a good deal of mudslinging and name-calling. And what's the subject matter? Nothing. Nothing but foolish words and questions of ignorant men destitute of the truth. Now, you want to end the strife? Then before you say another thing, study and research diligently to learn the absolute truth And believe me, this is much more than repeating what you read in one article on the internet, okay? I mean, go in there, study it out, research it diligently, learn the absolute truth of it, and after you learn the truth, you know what you're going to do? You're going to probably decide to keep it to yourself, and the strife's going to end. Why? Because once a man knows the truth, he doesn't need to go and spout off all this foolishness. He knows. And he doesn't need to see what some other fool has to say about it who doesn't know. He that hath knowledge, the Bible says, spareth his words. You see? A man that hath knowledge studieth to answer. Once you found out the answer, you don't need to go to the comments. You don't even care what they have to say. I got to give you one more and then we'll close. What is at the root of strife? I'll tell you what it is. It's gossip. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Really, gossip. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. The thing would die if you would just move on and quit running your mouth about it. Two preachers got crossways years ago. Both of them published their strife in newsletters. And each new issue had an article where the one preacher blasted the other. Finally, a third party stepped in and in about 30 minutes settled a disagreement between them. The article stopped, so did the strife. You know what the problem may be? You just won't shush. Just leave it alone. Quit talking about it. Quit running your mouth. Quit going to somebody and stirring the pot again. Okay? So there you go. What stirs up strife is easier to see in others than it is to see in yourself. However, if you find that one or more of these root causes of strife is in you, then you know what you need to do? You need to deal with you if you want the strife to cease. And God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.